Today's shir is Masechet Yevam Daf Chaf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, V'Bayis Eima. As we had learnt in the previous shir, our Mishnah taught us that if someone was accused of adultery with a woman, if that woman is divorced from her husband, the adulterer should not get married to the woman that he was accused of doing the Aveiru with. And the Mishnah continued telling us, and if he does marry her, might see they must get divorced. The Rav, in explaining the Mishnah, said that this halacha, that they must get divorced, is only if the adultery was confirmed by witnesses. The Gemara asked two questions on Rav's position from two different brises. One brise said that they don't have to get divorced if this woman married someone in between her divorce from her first husband and her marriage to the accused adulterer, which seems to indicate that if she didn't marry anyone else, even if there were no witnesses, they must get divorced. So the Gemara explained that no, Rav is still holding his position that only when there were witnesses to the adultery must they get divorced, but that the Bryce is telling us a chiddush, that even though she got married to someone else in between, still lechatchila the adulterer should not marry her. And then the Gemara asked a question from another Bryce, which says that if there are children, they don't get divorced unless, if there were children from the first marriage, they don't get divorced unless there were witnesses, which seems to teach us that if there are no witnesses, then they have to get divorced when there are no children. And that forced the Gemara to modify Rav's position. And indeed, Rav will now agree that if there are no witnesses, however, there are also no children from the first marriage, then Rav will agree that the adulterer has to divorce this woman. Now, says the Gemara, V'Bayis Eima, another way of reconciling these brises. According to the V'Bayis Eima, Rav remains with his position that only if there are witnesses must they get divorced. Hani Masnisen, these brises that we just quoted that raise a difficulty with Rav's pshat, Rebihi represent Rebbe's shita. The Tanya, as we learned in a brisa, Reichel Yoitza. It once happened there was a perfume peddler leaving the home of the woman. Visha Chagers B'Simner, and the husband walks into the house and sees that at that point the woman is putting on her undergarments. So Omer Rebbe, since this is an obscene situation, Teitzei, she must leave. And we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim, whom must she leave from? Rashi says that she has to leave her husband and the adulterer. So we see that even though there are no witnesses, Rebbe says that they can't remain together, the adulterer with this woman, if they get married. But Rashi went a step further in teaching us that even the husband, under these circumstances, must divorce her. Tosfos asks a question of Rashi, because Tosfos says, we know that the Gemara says, Masechta Sota, that a husband doesn't have to divorce his wife, unless there were Eidei Kinui and Eidei Stira, much more evidence than just Mechor HaDover. And therefore Tosfos says, that when the Gemara here says Teitzei, that she has to leave, it means she's not allowed to marry the adulterer. But it is not necessarily enough cause for divorce. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos that in a situation of Mechor HaDover, only the adulterer is not allowed to marry her, and even if he marries her, they have to get divorced, but not the husband. A similar situation, Roik Lamala Mekila, if there was, after the perfume peddler is leaving the house, the saliva found on the bottom of the canopy, by the canopy, Amar Rebbe, Hoyel Mechor HaDover, again, it's an obscene situation, and Teitzei, the adulterer, or maybe even the husband, can't remain with her. Menalim hafuchim tachas amita. If there are turned over shoes under the bed, again, after the adulterer leaves, Amar Rebbe, hoil mechor adover, since this is an obscene situation, Tetzai. And as Rashi explains, the adulterer was concerned that he should not get caught. Their floors were not made out of wood or stone, they were made out of earth. His shoes would leave an imprint on the earthen floor. So what he specifically did was, he turned over a shoe, that there shouldn't be a shoe print, and that's why there's reason, there's certainly some evidence that something inappropriate happened here. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara gave us three examples of what's considered a situation of Mechur HaDover. Why did the Gemara have to give it in three separate cases? The Gemara could have just given different examples. Why Tetzai? Explained to Rishonim that Rebbe actually was referring to Halacha L'maisa. A situation was asked to him, a Shaila was asked to him, there was a Reichel going out, and the woman was putting on her undergarments, etc., etc. So each one of these situations represent a Shaila Halacha L'maisa that was asked to Rebbe, which he responded to. Ask the Gemara, Menol Mafuchim, if his shoes are turned over and the husband finds the shoes under the bed, let's say the man Ninu. Why doesn't he just examine whose shoes they are? Says the Gemara, El Mokim Menol Mafuchim. He found where the shoes are normally put, they were overturned. Tacha Samita beneath the bed. And on that Rebbe said, Hoyl Mechua Dova Teitse, they have to be divorced. They should be divorced according to Rebbe, to Rashi, and she can't marry the adulterer. So Rashi explains again that the place of the shoes didn't have a real shoe print. It only had this overturned shoe print, which led him to be concerned. Another pshat that Rashi attempts to say is that the situation here is where the husband has a place under the bed where he always keeps his shoes, and the wife has a place under the bed where she keeps her shoes. Here, the husband found the wife's shoes in his place, which leads him to be concerned, why is the wife's shoes in his place? It must be because the adulterer, not knowing their arrangement, where the shoes are kept, put his shoes in the place where the wife normally keeps her shoes, and the wife, by no choice, other choice, put her shoes in the husband's place, which led the husband to suspicion, Mechur HaDover and Tetzai. And that's what says the Gemara, the Brises that represented, that said that even if there are no Edom, the adulterer must divorce the woman if he marries her, represents the Shita of Rebbe, that in a situation of Mechur HaDover, they have to get divorced. Says the Gemara, Hilchasa Kavasei the Rav, the Halacha is like Rav, Vilchasa Kavasei the Rebbe, and the Halacha is like Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa. These two positions are at odds with each other. Rebbe holds that Edom are not required for the adulterer to have to divorce the woman, and Rav holds that it is required. Edom are required. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Habakala the Pasuk. When the rumor was stopped, and the way Rashi explains, it was stopped by a counter rumor, then we hold like Rav. Habakala the Loi Pasuk. If the rumor was not stopped, then we hold like Rebbe. Kala the Loi Pasuk. If there was a rumor that did not stop, even though Leka Edim, there are no witnesses, there we hold like Rebbe, that the adulterer must divorce the woman. Kala the Pasuk. If the rumor stopped, Ika Edim, only if there are witnesses must they get divorced. Otherwise, just on the basis of the rumor, they do not have to get divorced, which represents the Shita of Rav. And as the Mefarshim actually explained, it doesn't represent the Shita of Rav, because Rav always requires Edom, no matter what kind of rumor. What we're saying is, then we will hold like Rav, that if it's a rumor that was stopped, we need Edom. Ask the Gemara, v'kol d'loi pasuk ad kama, how long is it considered a rumor that did not stop? Amar Abaya, Amar Le'em, Duma de Masa, rumor in a city is Yoima Palga. Aim we always means, we know means I his nurse who raised him because he became an orphan right when he was born. And here it says that a rumor that's a day and a half long is considered a kol d'loy pasuk. Says the Gemara, v'loy maran el d'loy pasuk beini beini. It's only if the rumor did not stop in the middle. No counter rumor came up during that entire day and a half. Aval pasuk beini beini. If the rumor did not continue for a day and a half, ha pasuk, then it stopped and it's not considered a rumor. However, says the Ritva, let's say the rumor started and it went for a half a day and then it was stopped, but then it re-emerged and it re-emerged for a day and a half. Since we have a situation that this rumor was alive for a day and a half, it's considered a kol d'loy pasuk, and the adulterer must divorce his wife. Continues the Gemara, v'loy amar el d'loy pasuk machmas yira. It's only considered that the rumor didn't stop, that the rumor was stopped, if we don't have a reason to believe that people were afraid of the man or the woman, and that's why they stopped the rumor. But if we have reason to believe, explains Ritva, not that we know this for sure, we just have reason to believe that the rumor was stopped because people are afraid of the adulterer or the woman, then that's not considered that the rumor stopped. If it was only stopped because of fear of these accused parties, and it's not considered a stopped rumor. On the other hand, when is a rumor considered a rumor? That these people don't have enemies. If they have enemies, then we don't take much consideration into the rumor, because we say Oivim hu da'afka lil koila, it's the enemies that were the ones that spread the rumor. However, the Sharm Tzion Balakam makes a number of interesting observations. He says that rumors started by enemies are not the same as Eidus, testimony given by enemies. Enemies may give testimony because, as he explains, enemies, even though they're enemies, will not say a lie and Bezdin, especially since they have to go through Chakir of Adrisha. Here, however, it's not in the Bezdin setting, and that's why enemies aren't so concerned about spreading rumors. Furthermore, says the Sharm Tzion Balach, he quotes the Shail Sechuvah's Heshev Moshe, that we have to know what the Gemara means when it says enemy. He says enemies doesn't mean someone who doesn't like a person, because not everyone is liked by everyone. But the Gemara here means enemies. It means somebody who we know truly dislikes this person, and therefore his rumor that he started, or we could attribute that the rumor was started by such a person, will not be considered a legitimate rumor to be concerned about. There's an interesting vort from the Tzemach David. The pasuk, when it describes the challenge of Korach v'Adosoi against Moshe, uses two words. First, the pasuk uses the word v'kahal v'kumu l'fnei Moshe anoshim b'mnei Yisrael, and then the pasuk says v'kahalu am Moshe v'al Aaron. So he asks, why does the pasuk change its terminology? First, using the word v'kumu, and then it says v'kahalu. So he explains that the people, Korach v'Adosoi, were very well aware of our Gemara. And what, as we know, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, that what Korach v'Adosoi said was that Moshe lived within Eishes Ish. But they knew if they would let out such a rumor, nobody would pay attention to it. Oivim, we just learned in our Gemara that enemies who spread a rumor are not to be trusted. So says the pasuk, v'yakumu l'fnei Moshe anoshim bnei Yisrael. They first got up, they showed Moshe Rabbeinu great respect. So they weren't considered enemies. So therefore, when v'yikahalu al Moshe v'Aaron, and they spread a rumor that Moshe Rabbeinu had lived with an Eish HaSish, they were trusted because they weren't enemies, and only rumors spread by enemies, does our Gemara say, should not be trusted, not rumors spread by people who are not enemies. The Mishnah says, in Masechta Gittin, and Daf Mem Hei Omer Beis, that if a husband divorces a wife because there are rumors swirling around that she acted immorally, or a husband divorced a wife because he was concerned that she had made nedarim, she had made different vows that he did not want to remain with her. There the halacha, says the Mishnah, is that he may not marry her. And there's a machloikis amaroyim, why? One explanation is chshash kilkel. We're concerned that if the husband divorced her because of these rumors, or because of the nedarim, and then afterwards he finds out that the rumors were false, or that nedarim could have been annulled, and he'll say, I would have never divorced her, knowing this. Meanwhile, she got married already to a second man, had children from the second husband, and if he says that the get, divorce he gave, was betas, was a mistake, it turns out that she was never divorced, and she never had a right to marry the second husband, and the children are mamzerim. So that's why Chazal say, if you get divorced under these circumstances, you can't get remarried. Another reason given in the Gemara is Shem Pritzusa. The Chazal wanted that Jewish women should be aware the repercussions of making the Dorim, the repercussions of living in a way that rumors are spread that they're acting immorally, that they're going to have to get divorced and not be allowed to get remarried. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Gittin, Hamasiyas Ishta Mishem Shemra, somebody divorces a wife because of the reasons we just gave, Lo Yachser, he may not remarry her. Similarly, Mishem Neder, Lo Yachser, he may not remarry her. Sholach Le Rabbi Barafun Le Rabbi Barav Nachman. So Rabbi Barafun asked Rabbi Barav Nachman the following question, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach me Rabbi, Konas, if the husband under these circumstances did remarry the wife, Mash Yotzi, does he have to divorce her? And as Rashi explains, the Gemara's questions are going according to the Manda Omer that were concerned for Kilkel, that were concerned that if she got remarried, the children will be considered Mamzerim. But here she didn't remarry another person, and the first husband took her back. Is the Gezeirah the Rabbanan still there or not? The Ravid explains that the Gemara's questions are according to the explanation of Mishum Pritzusa, that Chazal made a decree that this woman may not remarry her first husband, and the Gemara wants to know how far does that decree go, that if they did get remarried, do they have to get divorced? Amalei, so Rabbi Huna answered, Tanina, isn't that the same as our Mishnah? Hanitan al Eishes Ish, if someone was accused that he had relations with a married woman, but Simitaxiod and her husband divorces her, Abishakonis, if the adulterer marries her, Yoitzi, they can't remain married. So here too, they can't remain married. So the Rishonim ask that, and really, this is part of what we're going to learn in the Gemara, but first to understand that how the Rishonim teach it to us, isn't the difference between a husband and an accused adulterer very obvious? And just because the accused adulterer has to divorce her, does that teach us that the husband has to divorce her? So the Rashba explains that the pshat in the Gemara's question is just like Chazal in our Mishnah made a rule that if the adulterer marries her, they have to get divorced. Our Gemara's question is, similarly, there's a rule there that the husband's not allowed to take her back. And perhaps it means that under all circumstances, they're not allowed to remain remarried, and they have to get divorced. And as the Rashba goes on to explain, the Gemara, our Mishnah really had two situations. One situation that the Mishnah referred to was the situation that we're talking about now, that we have the adulterer marrying her where they have to get divorced. But there was also the first case of the Mishnah where someone was accused of living with Avodas Kechavim. There the Mishnah said if they get married, they don't have to get divorced. So asked the Rashi, why did the Gemara prefer to compare this case to the second part of the Mishnah than to the first part of the Mishnah? Explains the Rashi according to his line of reasoning. In the first case of the Mishnah, they shouldn't get married because it's only coming, like we learned yesterday, to enforce a rumor. But there is no din specifically that Chazal said that this couple may not get married or stay married. That's why it's not similar to the case of the adulterer or case to the husband, where Chazal specifically told us they're not allowed to be married, and perhaps therefore even the case of the husband, if they do get married, he has to divorce her. The Ritva explains why the Gemara thought that this is similar to our Mishnah, because he explains that the case that the Gemara is questioning is not where the husband found out conclusively that actually his wife never did anything wrong. The husband didn't find it out. He just says, since I don't know for sure that she did adultery, I want to take her back. Which, again, is like our Mishnah, where it wasn't 100% proven. Rabbi Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Rav Nachman, Midami, Hasam, Hatsiyua. And our Mishnah, Bezdin forced them to get divorced. Hacha, Hatsiyah. The husband divorced her on his own free will. So the situations are not similar, says Rabbi Rav Nachman. Isn't the difference so obvious? How does Rabbi Rav Nachman defend himself? Our Mishnah is also referring to a situation where he divorced her on his own. And therefore, the situations are both similar, and therefore the proof from our Mishnah is a viable proof. Ask the Gemara, even if we'll say that both situations reflect situations where the husband, better than not, forced the husband to get divorced. He did it on his own. Akatimi domen, hachabal. In our situation, it's the husband that's remarrying her. Hasim boyel. In our Mishnah, in the Mishnah Gittin, it's the husband. In our Mishnah, it's an adulterer. Certainly we'll treat adulterer more stringently than we'll treat the husband. Omale, shapadami hadadi. The situations are still similar enough. Hacha am rabbanan layichnas. In Masechta Gittin, the Mishnah says that the husband may not remarry this wife. Hacha am rabbanan layichnas. In our Mishnah, Chazal said that if the adulterer is not allowed to marry her, vim konas, and if he did marry her, yoytzi, they have to get divorced. Hasim Nami will say the same thing in Masechta Gittin. Am rabbanan layachser, the husband may not remarry her, and therefore will continue saying that if he did remarry her, and konas, yoytzi, they have to get divorced. However, says Velohi, the comparison are not the same. The cases are not the same. Hasam alume alma l'koyla. In our Mishnah, when the adulterer marries the woman, it only comes to confirm the rumor. By the fact that they got married, isn't that the greatest confirmation that those rumors are true? And therefore, Chazal say they have to get divorced. Hacha, wherever in the case of Masechta Gittin, their remarriage, Aminan Kambe Bekal Velosai, is only proving that the rumors were false. And that's why he remarried her, and that's why the situation are not the same and cannot be compared. The halacha, the first Mishnah Masechta Gittin says that if someone brings a get from Medina Sayom, if a get is brought from Babel to Yisrael, the shliach who brings the get has to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. And the Gemara Masechta Gittin gives two reasons, Rabbah and Rava, why. One reason given is, as we know, one of the fundamental halachas of Gittin is the cause of law l'shma. A get has to be written l'shma. And there's a concern that the people in Bavel weren't aware of this halacha, and therefore the shliach bezna has to come and testify b'fanei nechtam that the get was written halachically correctly. Another reason given is that there weren't shiaris metzuyas, there weren't many people traveling from Bavel to Yisrael, and if there would be a challenge to the validity of the get, there would be no one here who would recognize the signatures of the witnesses to validate the get. That's why we want the shliach bezin to say b'farim nechtam, b'farim nechtam, to validate the get as he delivers it. Says the Mishnah, Hamevi get from din sayam. So if a shliach bezin is bringing a get from din sayam, v'oman he says b'farim nechtam, lo yise ishtoy. This shliach may not marry the woman, this woman, because we're concerned that he said false testimony that the get is a valid get, in order that the woman, he should be able to marry the woman. Mace, if somebody says testimony that a man died, hiraktiv, or he says testimony that I killed him, hergunu, or we killed him, and we'll explain this more in the Gemara, lo yisis ishtoy, this person may not marry the wife. Again, Rashi says, we're concerned that he's saying false testimony in order to be able to marry the wife. Rambam explains it differently. The Rambam explains that if the person will be trusted, he may come to kill the husband in order to be able to marry the wife. But now if he recognizes that if he'll kill the husband and then come and say that he was the murderer, he won't be allowed to marry the wife, that will prevent him from killing the husband. Rabbi Huda says, Hiraktiv, if I killed him, Loitisus Ishtoi, he may not marry her altogether. Hirgunu, but if he says he killed him, Tinosis Ishtoi, then he may remarry her. And as Taisus points out, according to the Rabbonon, if all he says is the mace, that the husband died, and he's ready now allowed to remarry her, there's no need to say hiraktiv in her guna. Why did our Mishnah say hiraktiv in her guna? Only because Rabbi Yehuda, who draws a distinction between hiraktiv in her guna. Says the Gemara, when is the shliach who says b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam not trusted, not allowed to marry this woman? Time of the Medina Siyam, because he brought the get from Medina Siyam, so as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, we're relying on the Shliach, and therefore he cannot marry this woman. Al Metz Yisrael, when the get is brought from Metz Yisrael, where b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam doesn't have to be said, so the lav olei kasam chinen, we're not relying on this person anyway, because b'fanei nechtam is not required to be said, so therefore he can, the shlich who brought the get, can marry the woman. However, the Chasam Sofer says that if there's going to be a situation that even though the get was brought from Eretz Yisrael, the people involved want the get to be mekuyim, we want it to be confirmed that there should be no room for further issues about this get, therefore, even though the get is being delivered from Eretz Yisrael, the b'fanei nechtam, the one saying it, is playing a crucial role, and therefore, even in Eretz Yisrael, he would not be allowed to marry this woman. Ask the Gemara for mace. In the case that we just learned at the second part of the Mishnah, where someone testified regarding a man that he died, the alei kasam chinen, we're not relying really on his testimony to allow this woman to get married. Domamar, as we learned, isha daika mintzibah. A woman is careful and investigates carefully before she remarries. So it's based on her own investigation that we're allowing her to get married. And yet, Biktani, we say that the witness who comes and says that the husband died, lo yisis ishtoi, may not marry his wife. Why? We're not relying on him. Answers the Gemara. Hasam, when one testifies that the husband died, lakiksava, there's no written document. So yes, we're not completely relying on his testimony. But even though we're not completely relying on his testimony, still, his testimony is a crucial element here, and there are no documents besides his spoken word. Therefore, we don't allow him to marry this woman. Hocha, or ever where there's a get, ikiksav, there's a piece of paper, the document that the get is on, and therefore even though he's the one that delivered the get, we trust him. And we have such a precedent in halacha, says the Gemara, that now we learned in the Mishnah, man ben get l'misa sheksab mechiyach. The Gemara Masechta Gittin, we'll have this Gemara later, in our Masechta, discusses various women who are considered enemies of the woman, of the woman, her mother-in-law, her tzara, her sister-in-law. And the Gemara says that these women, even though, as we're going to learn in a moment, that the aguna, akilubar rabbana, Chazal was specifically makel and allowed people, allowed testimony that they normally would not allow when there's a question about a woman, chas v'shalom, remaining an aguna. These women, who are enemies of the wife, can't be trusted. But they can be trusted to deliver a get. So we see, sheksab mechich, when there's a get, it's a whole different situation. Similarly, in our Mishnah, if the shliach bezdin is not required to say b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam, he may marry the woman whose get he delivered, but not marry the woman who's, if he says that her husband died. So we learned in our Mishnah that the Tanna Kamma, Rabbanan said, mei sarakta v'erguna layisas ishtai. So we learned, who near the layisas ishtai? It's this man who's saying this testimony may not marry the dead man's wife. Halacher, someone else, tinase, may marry her. Ask the Gemara, from Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, the Gemara says, that if somebody comes and says, Poloini, Ravani, Lansi, that it was sodomized against my will. So, who, V'achim, and Star from Largoi? His testimony against the sodomizer is believed. And if there's someone else who corroborates it, so we have two witnesses that this person sodomized someone else, and he's killed. Luritsoini, but if the person says, I was sodomized with my consent, then Roshahu, he's saying that he did an Aveira. V'tayra Amra, Atashas Yotcha, and Rosh Eli Yosoyed Chamas. And Rosh cannot be an aid. So in our Mishnah, how could this person be trusted to say that the woman, husband, is dead if he's saying that he was the murderer? And a murderer is a Pasla aid. The Chitema, if you want to say, Shani Eidus Isha Dekil Barabonim. As we learned a moment ago, by an aguna we're more makel. What's the biggest proof that we're makel? Because, as we know, the Pasuk says, Apishnei Eidim Yopim Dover. Normally, two witnesses are required. Ein Dover Sheba Erva Pachas Mishnayim. And here we're trusting one witness. And in fact, what is the reason one witness is allowed to be trusted? So we're going to learn, because called Mekadesh, adated Rabbanim Mekadesh, whoever affects the Kedushin does it on the basis of Chazal. And in this case, when one aid comes and says that the husband is dead, even if it's though it's only one aid, v'afkinu Rabbanim Kedushin minei, Chazal annul the original marriage. So that's why we'll say that even though normally someone who's a Rasha, somebody by his own admission did a terrible Aveira, and as the Rishonim and Achronim point out, from here we see the Aveira that makes one disqualified for Eidus is not only an Aveira that involves money, where there's a concern that we see that the person will do something for payment, but even if the Aveira doesn't involve any money, it's not an Aveira of mominous, it's an Aveira of murder, it's an Aveira of sodomy that represent that this person is a Rasha. Any Rasha who shows that he doesn't follow Divrei Torah is possible for an aid, but will say that by Aguna, by Eidus Isha, it's different. And that's why this person, even though he's admitting that he's a murderer, he's to be trusted. Vamar Rav Menashe, this is clearly not what Rav Menashe said. Because Rav Menashe said, Gazlim the Divrayim, somebody who's only considered a Gazlim with Rabbanon, Rashi says, Mafricha Yoinim, Mesachake Bekuvio, Koshalai Desisha. He's allowed to say testimony that a woman's husband is dead. Gazlim the Divrei Torah. However, someone who's a Gazlim with Doraisa, or any other Avera that's Avera Midaraisa, is Poselei Desisha. How could we trust this person? So we say, Reim Neima, Rav Menashe Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Menashe was saying, his position according to Rabbi Yehuda, who indeed says that if a person says hiraktiv, so he's indicating that he's a rasha, then he's not trusted, and not only may he not marry this woman, no one may marry this woman based on his testimony, which would mean Rabbi Nasha agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, not with Rabbanon. Amalach Rabbi Nasha, another Amri Filu Rabbanon. My position can be consistent with Rabbanon. The Tamid Rabbanon Hacha, I, the person saying that he's a Rasha, and if he's a Rasha because he's saying that he murdered someone, how can we trust him? It follows what Rav said, which is the Shita of Rav Mesech Tiksubistaf Yitches of Palginan de Bura. Dama Rav. Rav says, Adam Karveitz Latzmoy, a person is related to himself. Then Adam Mesem Latzmoy Rasha, a person has no namonis, cannot be trusted to say that he's a Rasha. And therefore, according to Rava, and that's how Rava says the Rabbanan will be explained in our Mishnah, when the person, just like there, if a person says, Ploini Ravani Liritsoini, we say Palginin Libura, we separate and we accept the Ploini Ravani part, but we ignore the Liritsoini part, because by saying Ritsoini, he's saying that he is a Russian. A person can't say detrimental testimony about himself. Similarly, in our Mishnah, when the person says hiraktiv, we're going to separate his words. We'll trust the part that the husband is dead, but we will not accept the part that he was the one that actually committed the murder. Ask the Rishonim that don't we have a concept that Edus Shabatla Miktsasa Batla Kula. So we're not accepting the part that he committed the murder. How can we accept the part that he knows that he's dead? Answers the Rizva that when the person speaks about himself, that's not called Edus. That's not an Edus at all. The Edus that the Halacha looks at is limited to the part that says that the husband is dead, not to the part that he's speaking about what he did or didn't do. Similarly, Rashi asks, we know that the Gemara says many times, Hadas Baldin Kamei Adam Dami, that a person admits to something, it's like 100 witnesses. Again, says Rashi, that's limited to when a person says that I owe someone else money. So since it's my money, I could do with my money whatever I want. So that's why Chazal said, Hadas Baldin Kamei Adam Dami, but not to identify oneself as a Rasha. So now we explain the Rabbanan to be consistent with Rava's Shita. But now it comes out that Rava, that the Rabbanan are not consistent with Rabbi Yosef. Because as we learned, Rabbi Yosef says that if somebody said that he did an Avera, he's totally not trusted. Lame Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef will have to be consistent with Rabbi Yehuda, Damik Rabbi Yehuda. Amlak Rabbi Yosef, another Amli Fil Rabbonin. I can be consistent with Rabbonin. Even though I said if a person says that he did an Avera, he becomes a disqualified Edis. Vishani Edis, Isha, Edis Isha is different. The Kiluba Rabbonin, Chazal were more lenient. And therefore, even though normally when one, through his testimony, is indicating that he's a Rasha, and therefore his testimony is not to be taken, here it's allowed to be taken. Rav Nasha, who limits this only to somebody disqualified, Midrabbanan, he will be the one to say Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that both Rav Yosef and Rav Nasha are attempting to explain how their positions are consistent with the Rabbanan, because the Halacha is like the Rabbanan. Mefarshim explain. Here the Gemara taught us that Adam Karv Eitzel Atzmai, a person can't say testimony, bear testimony about himself. So the Farshim explained, that's what we says in Pirkei Ovis, in the beginning of Perek Beis. Eizet derech yishoro shiyov aloi ha'odom, kol she tferes loy seo, v'tferes loy min odom. When a person wants to choose, if he wants to judge, analyze if he's acting the right way or not, he shouldn't judge himself. Because Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmai, a person always thinks that he's acting properly. Kashi Tferes Laisa, Tferes Laiman Adam, judge if another person were acting this way, how would you think about that person? There's an interesting tshuva for a Moshe Feinstein, that even though Al Gemara says, Adam Karveitz L'Atzmai, Vein Adam Mason Atzmai Rasha, he speaks about an interesting shaila. He says there was a woman who came to him who said that her husband had passed away 4 years ago, and her husband had died in Toronto. But she said that her husband told her that even though he's dying in Toronto, since most of his children live in Montreal, he would like to be buried in Montreal. But she buried him in Toronto. And she says now it's 4 years later, and her husband is coming to her in dream and upset at her why she didn't bury him in Montreal. And she wants to now be able to exhume the body and take it to Montreal. Do we trust her or not? Says Reb Moshe, even though Al Gemara says Adam Karveitz L'Atzmai, Vein Adam Meisim Atzmai Rasha, so she shouldn't be trusted when she's saying that she clearly violated her husband's wishes. Still says Reb Moshe, it's not something. This halach of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmai Rasha is not to be taken as a hard and fast rule. We have to look at the circumstances. And in these circumstances, why did the woman come to say this? Nobody forced her to say it. It must be because she really meant it and felt it, that she felt bad that she didn't do what her husband asked of her, and therefore we accept what she says, and the body can be taken from Toronto to Montreal. The Rishonim also discuss that why doesn't the Gemara suggest that this person was a Masich Lefitumai, and therefore he should be trusted. So based on this, in fact, the Ran says, from here we see that Masich Lefitumai is not always to be accepted. The Rif disagrees. The Rif says that Masich Lefitumai would be trusted. Here we're referring to a situation where the person recognizes what would be the repercussions of what he said, and therefore he is not to be trusted. It's not considered Masich Lefitumai. The Mishnah said, Hirachtiv, that if the witness said, I killed him, then this woman may not get remarried. Hignua, but if he said, we killed him, then she may get remarried. Ask the Gemara, Mashnah Hirachtiv or Mashnah Hignua? What's the difference if he said that he killed him or we killed him? Amar Yehuda, Hignua does not mean that we killed him. It means, I was there when he was killed, but I myself did not actually participate in the murder. For Tanya, and the Gemara brings a brisa that supports this explanation. Amalai Rabbi Yehuda, they told Rabbi Yehuda, my symbolistim echot shiyotzu lahagarig magisis kapotkia. There was a situation where a certain bandit was taken to be killed in this place, magisis kapotkia. For amalam lechu amalam leisha shimekain, go tell shimekain's wife, ani arakti spalu b'chnisasi lelud. I killed her husband as I was entering Lud, and therefore she may get remarried. Vamila b'chnisas al Lud, as the husband was entering Lud. V'siis ishtoi, and they allowed her wife to get remarried. But Rabbi Yehuda said, Hirachtiv, if someone says that I killed her husband, he's not Neman. Amala misham raya, you can't bring a proof from there. He didn't say I killed him. B'amani ha'yisim hargav, I was together with the murderers, but I didn't participate, and then he is to be trusted. Asked the Gemara Listim Ketani, the person was a ganif. How can we accept his testimony? Didn't we just say that a Rosh's testimony is not to be accepted? Answers the Gemara Shanitvas Ayidei Listis. He was found to be in the company of bandits, but he actually himself was not a Listin. Asked the Gemara Yotzal Harik Ketani, they were killing him. So obviously he did the Avera. He was part of the group. Says the Gemara, Beidina Davdi Kechavim. It's talking about a court of Avdei Kechavim. The Leidak of Akatli are not that careful before they kill someone, and that's why they killed him, even though he didn't actually participate. But he didn't participate, so he wasn't a Rasha. And from here we see that he just said, Hignua, I was there, but didn't participate, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that this person is to be trusted, and the woman may get remarried. Says the Mishnah, Chacham she'asas isha b'neda abala. If a woman came to a chacham and asked that a neder she may be annulled, and he didn't annul it. And then the husband divorces the wife. The chacham should not be the one to marry this woman, because people will say that he didn't annul the neder because he wanted to marry her. Or mian of a chalitza were done in front of a chacham, then he may remarry this woman, neshu bezdin, because he was part of a bezdin that did this, and therefore he can marry this woman. Ha'itira, our Mishnah seems to imply only because the chacham refused to annul the neder, that's why he can never marry this woman if she got divorced. Ha'itira, but if he did annul it, yisena, he may remarry her. May marry her after she gets divorced. But Ma'iskin, ask the Gemara exactly what is the case about Mishnah. Ilayim v'chad, it was telling that the woman brought the net in front, one chacham, chad mi matzi matar, could one chacham be matar another? V'amar Rav Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rav Avin, hataras nadarim b'shloisha, hataras nadarim requires three rabbonim, v'el betlosu, so you say that he was part of a bezdin. Ask the Gemara, he's part of a Bezdin Michshidi. Is he to be accused that he's going to do something wrong? But tonight we just learned in our Mishnah, Mi'ano Shechotz Befonov Yuse'eno, if he was part of a Bezdin, he may marry her, Neshu Bezdin. Says the Gemara, Lo'ilam B'chad, there was only one Chacham here. Ukud Amrav Chizda Amrav Yoichran, B'yochid Mumcha, a single expert could be matter neder, hachnam v'yochid mimcha, and our Mishnah says if this yochid mimcha was not matter neder, we should not allow him to marry the woman in question because of chshat. Mi'ano shechaltza, so if she did mi'ano chalitza in front of a bezdin, then the members of bezdin may marry her. Tam of the bezdin, it's only a bezdin, habetrei, but if we were to be informed before two rabbonim, they would not be allowed to marry her. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Madatnan, why is this different? Why is this different from what we learned in the Mishnah? Edim chsud mastei mekach, if witnesses were signed on a bill of sale of a field, they'll get ishur, a woman's get, lechash lecham ledavazeh, Chazal weren't concerned, because since they're two people, Chazal weren't concerned for a conspiracy, and therefore they may marry the woman, or they may buy this field. Answers Gemara, what a Mishnah is coming to teach us is lafuki mandama mian b'fnei shnayim. We're going to learn that there's a mandama that holds that mian can be done in front of two rabbonim. Kamashmalan, our Mishnah is teaching us that miyunim should be done in front of shloisha three rabbonim. Ibailahu, ask the rabbonim, konas, if the rav who was not matan neder or the shliach who brought the get and said b'fani nachtav. Marry this woman. Does he have to divorce her or not? Rav Kahana Omer, Konas, might say, even if he married her, he has to divorce her. Rav Ashi Omer, Konas, and he might say, doesn't have to divorce her. Tanil Rav Zutur, the very Rav Papi, Kedivre Omer, that the Aloch is like the Mandom that says, Konas, that if he married her, and he might say, doesn't have to divorce her. Omele, Rabban Rav Ashi, Gemara, did you receive this halacha as a Gemara, as a tradition from your Rebbe's, or as far as this just logic? Amlu masnisani. It's a Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, nit the Meshivcha v'nishtachra, that somebody was accused that he had relations with a Shivcha, and then she was freed. Or ma'avadzkam, he was accused that he had relations with a avadzkachavim, v'nishkaira, and then she becomes a geyoris. The halacha Mishnah taught us was, hareza lo yichnas, he shouldn't marry her. Vimkonas, but if he did marry her, ain't a might see, doesn't have to divorce her. Alma, berunana. Just because of a rumor, loy mafkinen, we do not force them to get divorced. Hakanami, their whole concern is runana. They're going to say that this shliach who said b'fani nachtam said it in order to marry her. This rav who didn't mat the nether, this woman's nether, is because he had ulterior motive. For that reason, even though they should not get married, loy mafkinen, if they do get married, we will not tell them they have to get divorced.